Well, AstraZeneca was forced to admit that its COVID vaccine can cause blood clotting, and that can be lethal. The pharmaceutical company did this not out of goodwill, and they felt like they should disclose that so that you could have informed consent when you take their products. Oh, no. That wouldn't be funny, right? That would be ethical. No, they did this because they were forced to do this in a lawsuit in court. So before we take a look at what they're saying, think for a second. Now, we were all told that every one of the COVID vaccines, and there were three or four of them to choose from, were safe and effective. The government told us that blanket vaccination was the only way to go, irrespective of health, of previous infection, nothing, right? We got nothing. If there had been longer trials, honest media, and an honest biopharmaceutical industry, we'd have been told the various risk factors that they did know about. But we weren't. Now, AstraZeneca has been sued by people who were severely harmed or died after taking the vaccine. In court this week, actually, the documents were released in February, but they were only published this week. The company acknowledged that its vaccine can, this is what they're saying, in very rare cases, cause TTS. What that is thrombosis with thrombocytopenia syndrome. It's a medical condition where a person suffers blood clots along with very low platelet count. Platelets typically help the blood to clot. Now, AstraZeneca and the UK knew this at least since March of 2021. So think about it. The first vaccines were administered in December 2020. By March, they already had reports of people having these very serious reactions and some death. But they did not pull it from the market until May. So we know they knew by March, but they didn't take it off for 2 or 3 months later. So in the interim, all of those people who were hurt have a claim to the government saying, why didn't you tell us this if you knew so early? Now, I contend AstraZeneca probably knew this way before March. They must have known this from any clinical trials that they did and did not publish. But what we know for sure is that the government knew by March. Not only were we not given the truth, therefore we had no way to offer informed consent, the taxpayers will be paying the settlements of people who are suing.
What?
So take a look at this.
Because of indemnity?
I'll show you. Take a look at this screen.
Sons of bitches.
Taxpayers will foot the bill of any potential settlements because of an indemnity deal that AstraZeneca struck with the government in the darkest days of COVID to get the jabs as quickly as possible, produced as quickly as possible, while the country was paralyzed by lockdowns. This comes just days after the firm reported revenue exceeding £10 billion in the first quarter of 2019. Now, in a statement about people who were harmed severely, AstraZeneca gave this, we give our sympathy to anyone who has lost loved ones or reported health problems. Sympathy, you notice their lawyers are probably saying you can't take responsibility. You can't say you're sorry. You can only offer sentiment, which is sympathy. Here's what they went on to say in their statement. It says, I just want to point out this word. You see how I'm pointing out the word acceptable here? You see what the energy I'm putting into that? They say, from the body of evidence in clinical trials and real-world data, the AstraZeneca vaccine has continuously been shown to have acceptable safety profile. Okay. Acceptable to who exactly? Acceptable to this lady. This is Mel Stewart. Before she took the vaccine, she was a stage actress. She was a working stage actress after she had a debilitating stroke, which according to the UK's own government page, is not as uncommon of a reaction. Take a look at this page. Now, the UK government is saying this is archived. This is what we had originally said, but we don't necessarily feel this way anymore. Just to let you know, this is archived information. But they're showing the side effects as 1 in 1,000 will have one-sided facial drooping. That's not rare. 1 in 1,000?
That's not, yeah. Is that acceptable?
Who finds that acceptable?
No way.
I'm. Would you rather get COVID or?
I mean,
given the fact that we know that the vaccine does not prevent the transmission, but at the time you're thinking, would I rather get COVID or I may have facial paralysis?
Yeah, I may permanently be paralyzed in my face, maybe parts of my body.
Right. Take a look at the next, what they're saying, very rare. They're saying 1 in 10,000 is very rare. Again, that's not, I look at these vaccine trials all the time as reporting for this show. 1 in 10,000 is not what you'd consider a very rare chance of something like this. Like severe nerve inflammation, which may cause paralysis and difficulty breathing, which is this Guillain-Barré syndrome, or this clotting. So that seems like you're really rolling the dice, but we were never given these numbers to make any kind of choice, which we absolutely should have. Take a look at this.
Someone outside in says that's a stroke-like symptom, right?
Which is, yeah.
The facial paralysis, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
So you're signing up for that. That's acceptable.
1 in 1,000. I mean, I can't imagine sitting down and being like, roll the dice.
Right.
You know,
it's like Russian roulette.
If you had known that.
I mean, you have 1 in 6 chance in Russian roulette, I guess. But I mean, still 1 in 1,000. I'm not taking that. And I'm certainly not taking that with my children.
That's 1,000 people per million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so how many millions have been given? That's a lot of people.
Right. Well, they're not reporting the risk of death, but the official UK government information shows that more than 80 people died from this. So in the UK alone, after complications of taking this specific COVID vaccine. So I guess I don't know how many people are in the UK who were vaccinated, but it seems about right? This ratio of either a severe reaction, being left as if you're rehabilitating from stroke, or death, such as this BBC presenter, Lisa Shaw, who was only 44, I believe.
Good afternoon. A coroner has concluded the BBC Radio Newcastle presenter Lisa Shaw died after complications of the AstraZeneca COVID vaccination. Lisa, who was 44, died in May, 3 weeks after being given her first dose of the vaccine. Well, our news correspondent Mark Denton was at the inquest at Newcastle Civic Centre this morning and joins us now. Mark.
Well, Jeff, the inquest heard that Lisa initially developed severe headaches at home. She was treated first in hospital in Durham, and she was then transferred to the Royal Victoria Infirmary in Newcastle, where she sadly died. Now, in her conclusion, the senior Newcastle coroner, Karen Dilks, said it was clearly established that Lisa's death was due to a vaccine-induced thrombotic cytopenia. Now, that is a condition which leads to blood clots and swelling of the brain. The coroner said it was a very rare condition.
Okay, so that's exactly the condition that we're talking about in these cases, TTS. Now, her husband says that, now again, think about it. She died in early May. I think it was the first few days of May, 10 days after vaccination, which puts her vaccination in late April of 2021. And we know for sure that the UK government knew about problems in March. So even in those few weeks between March and April, they continued to let people roll the dice, and then people did die. And now you can see her husband is saying he felt like he had no choice but to sue. This is her husband. He's been left a widow and a single dad because they had a little boy who now is without his mama.
That's awful.
Now, the plaintiffs in this case, she's one of many, but the plaintiffs, or her family is, rather. The plaintiffs in this case say that they have had an uphill battle, even bringing the suits at all. I'd like to tell you who these people are. You're going to see the family of an NHS doctor, Stephen Wright, who was 32 and again died 10 days after the vaccine, leaving his wife and two young children. Watch.
I think the vaccine damage payment scheme needs reform. There's people struggling still, people are injured, they're not getting the medical help they need, they're not getting the support they need financially, there's people at risk of losing their homes because they can't work, but there's still...
I mean, ourselves, we had to... And we were one of the first to submit a claim, and there's still people waiting over a year.
And did you...
The government, and to protect the children in which you work with.
But the other thing to say as well is that because he worked for the NHS, that was the only reason he had the vaccination at that time. If he'd been
working on any other job, he wouldn't, because of his age group, have had the vaccination so early.
Yeah, and specifically AstraZeneca, by his age group, it would have been pulled and he would have been offered a different one.
Yes.
Not.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
We felt very alone,
yes.
and almost that we weren't allowed to speak out,
yes.
that we would be killing people if we did speak out.
Yeah.
Okay. So
right, that the silence, the censorship, the blocking. We've heard from so many people who've told us that they felt so isolated, they couldn't talk.
Yeah.
They were forced off of Facebook groups where they were sharing adverse events and other things like that. They couldn't share that with the community. They couldn't talk about it. Right.
Well, so what they're specifically saying, and I think it's also worth noting how much we crapped on, not we, but how much the public crapped on Eric Clapton, who had exactly this vaccine.
Right.
And this reaction. And people called him an anti-vaxxer. They said he shouldn't have said anything. Now, what that family was saying was that her husband was an NHS worker, so he got the vaccine early. He had to, because he worked for the National Health Service, because he was considered one of the frontline healthcare workers. But since he was only 32, if he hadn't been forced to take the vaccine early, he would have waited until they opened it up for 30 and over. By that time, that vaccine was pulled. So because he was fast-tracked, he basically was experimented on. And had he then maybe later had gotten a different vaccine, he might not have got this one. Can you imagine how that feels? Like, if only the stars aligned to cost me my husband in this horrific way, and what you have to live with, like all the what ifs, right?
So many people in our chat are asking the question. Yeah. Here is, let me see what this one was. I feel like I'm living in a simulation, and why aren't people going postal over this? Yeah, Jay Green says, no one going postal over this makes me wonder if I live in a simulation with really bad writing.
I'm going postal right now. This is it.
Well, no, I don't think you're going postal. Well, this is, postal is a whole other level of violence.
Just with the Stephen Wright, who you're talking about, like the, If it had been people over profits, as soon as AstraZeneca knew, they'd have done something, but they didn't, because they knew at that point it was gonna get pulled, so then they had to just squeeze out as much profit as they could off of it before they were forced. Their hand was forced.
And that, it's almost like a conveyor belt, like on a factory floor. Like, you know, all of these pieces of food or whatever coming off this conveyor belt right now are toxic.
Uh-huh.
Right? You know that this is bad for the public, and you have the opportunity to knock them all in the trash.
Well,
right?
You
and
know
lose your profit.
That everyone in 1,000 are going to have this like facial paralysis.
Yeah,
you know that on this assembly line.
Could you imagine, like, they're there working on an assembly line on a conveyor belt, and you're seeing like all of these shots going down the conveyor belt, and you're just like there picking them in a box. One out of every 1,000 of those is going to potentially harm or even kill somebody.
Well, think about healthy 32-year-old Stephen Wright. There was no data at the time that said that Stephen Wright was at risk for severe or deadly COVID. We knew at the time, in what, May of March, April of 2021, that COVID was disproportionately affecting people with comorbidities and the elderly. So there was no reason to pick anybody over 30 that was otherwise healthy and experiment on them. So that's what we're living in. And again, the part that does make me want to go postal is that AstraZeneca does not have to pay any reparations, any settlements, anything. They are carefully trying to not take responsibility for this, because they signed over their responsibility to the government. So now taxpayers who were hurt will pay for settlements for this. And I just think it's worth looking at AstraZeneca's profit line since the pandemic, since 2020, is just up, up, and up.
And spiking today on this news, by the way.
I suppose that's true. Yeah, because
over the past 24 hours. Yeah,
I took that chart about 4 hours ago.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Go ahead, David.
I was gonna say, and also, like, there's things in place that these drugs are supposed to be. So after so many adverse reactions, it's supposed to get a black label. After so many deaths, it gets actually pulled from the market, and it's low. It's like 25 or something like that. But because all of these were had the emergency use authorization, they fall outside of all of that. They fall outside of any repercussions. They fall outside of any legal things people can do. So it's like, just because it got that label, they're not, they don't have to deal with the same system that regular drugs that are approved do.
Right.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat says Natalie would be the hottest person ever to go postal. She should do it. People are saying,
tell them what it looks like, darling.
No, we don't. You don't want to see her going postal.
Remember the ice pick in the eyeball?
Yeah.
Is it better than the ice pick in the eyeball from yesterday?
No, you don't need to see the fiery Natalie with any kind of weapons involved. We don't need that.
Today, the piano teacher was teaching the kids, and they said, she said, "Oh, I can't imagine your mom ever yelling. She's so nice to you." And then Eve climbed in the trunk of a car, and I walked out and I saw her in the yard, like in the trunk. And Miles was joking, and I was like, "What the? What are you doing? That's the dumbest thing. That's you act like you have some sense." And she was like, "Oh,
I see it. Now I get it."
So mad. She's seven. But.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to see that. So this is insane.
Yes, it's insane. It's tragic. And I do want to say the widow that you just saw of that doctor, of that NHS doctor, she is a hero. She was discouraged from bringing her case. The government wasn't even going to allow her to bring this case. And she just kept going after she hit brick wall after brick wall after brick wall. So I think that she's a hero for speaking up for not just her own family, but other families too. Hats off to her. And hopefully it means that other people can go a little bit quicker and find what they need. What they need is to not have had these reactions, obviously, but find something that brings them peace and solace.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.